Hello, and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 426, Observing and Responding. Those are two words I've used a lot. And I was actually just chatting with a client, and I said, you know, I observe and I report. And I've never really said those two words together. And I just grabbed a sticky note and wrote down those two words, and I thought, what a great title. Second to the last podcast of the year. Because that's really what I do now. I'm in a place because of being thankful and mindful, started my podcast, healed, all that to get here. So I know the power rests in being thankful, attitude of gratitude, and then walking the earth, staying present by observing and responding. Observing isn't just you're hanging out. Observing is you're watching yourself, you're aware of yourself, and you're asking yourself why. Why are you doing that? Why are you feeling that way? Why are you making those choices? Did you just see what happened? Which happens to me a lot. Did you just see what you just did? And then responding, choosing that response, total control. I can observe and I can choose how to respond. Total control. Kind of empowering, isn't it? That's what I'm selling, folks. Come to my well by the water I sell for free. Any questions? Holler. Looking for, I got some availability for clients, and, you know, it's not the new year, but it's how you can end the year on a high note. But if you're looking for a trainer, you're looking for a coach, you're looking for a cheerleader, like I said, just having that ability to be online and reach anyone, anywhere, I think is a great opportunity. So I am here if you need. I hope you are navigating your Pro U path to the best of your ability. And as always, thank you for listening. Enjoy. Observing and responding. I kind of summed up my walk chatting with a client one day, and I said, I'm just observing and responding. And I just love those two words, and I wrote it down. So today is filled with notes, but we'll start with quotes. Respect your body when it's asking for a break. Respect your mind when it's seeking rest. Honor yourself when you need a moment for yourself. Many people are actually afraid to heal because their entire identity is centered around the trauma they've experienced. They have no idea who they are outside of trauma, and that unknown can be terrifying. Start by doing one push-up. Start by drinking a cup of water. Start by paying forward, paying toward one debt. Start by reading one page. Start by making one sale. Start by deleting one old contact. Start by walking one lap. Start by attending one event. Start by writing one paragraph. Start today. Repeat tomorrow. This was a huge quote for me. I got this a couple weeks ago, and it was just, I don't know, it just resonated so deeply. So I'll read it first. The most convincing sign that someone is truly living their best life is their lack of desire to show the world that they're living their best life. Your best life won't seek validation. So when I was cutting back on the social media, it was just, you know, why are you doing this? And I'm like, well, I share. Well, why do you share? Well, I like to make people feel good. Why? Well, because the, you know, full circle makes me feel good. It's like, but the, you know, impetus of that was you didn't feel good. Now you feel good. So you don't really need to be doing certain things to have that response, because now you walk in that response, in that state of mind. So it was kind of a cool, it was a shift, you know, because I have always shared. Just that I'm a person that just shares. I don't mind. I'll share something personal. I'll share something, you know, it's going to make me cry. I mean, I've just always been, you know, that way. But then there was this shift. And if someone, and this isn't, you know, towards anyone, but if someone just started going, oh, here's this, and here's that, and here's what I have, and here's what I do, I might personally look at that person as, wow, they're really trying. You know, they're trying to, you know, paint this image. Here's who I am. But because they're trying so hard, you wonder, are they? You know, like, why do you need to? And the whole social media thing's a crazy thing anyways. Because part of it's like, cool, I believe it. Yay, people make money. Great, fantastic. There's benefits to it. But I also think that there can be this trap. And it was just recently when I would just really picture moments of doing something like in martial arts. I mean, you might have a camera that had film in it, you know. You know what I mean? But, like, people weren't standing around in their karate uniforms holding people's cameras. You know what I mean? So it was like I don't have a lot of camera, you know, photos or videos. And the stuff I did was VHS tapes, and those got old. But it's like traveled, like I went to Italy, I lived in, you know, Japan. I did a bunch of stuff and never posted it. So I think there's kind of a benefit to being my age where you live before social media and then you get to experience social media, so you get that perspective. Because I'm like, you know, I did a bunch of stuff just for the sake of doing it. And yeah, maybe we took some pictures, maybe we shot a video, but we didn't have to share it. We didn't have to post it. And I'm like, you know, where is that lost where just doing, being, having the experience was enough? It's like now we're almost living in a way so we can create a post. Look, I did this thing, so now I can post this thing. And it was just a weird thing. So when it hit me, it was like, I know what I shared. Like, I was like more about, I don't care. Here's my home. Yeah, I made this thing. Like, I didn't care. Like, I was like, I'm going to share without worrying what people think. You know, I'm going to set that example. Like, Tom shares because he doesn't care what people think. But then it's like, again, it just shifted. And I'm like, you didn't before. You didn't share, you know, a lot of your life for a very long time. And you know, I get how it transferred from, you know, training people, helping people, sharing stories, to going, well, now I can. And I've always, you know, been in photography and, you know, woodworking and stuff. So it's kind of cool to share those things, you know, the things you make, the things you created. You have a larger audience. But do you need to? Do you have to? And if you don't, what's that like? What's the experience like when you do something and you don't share it? And I just love that quote. The most convincing sign that someone is truly living their best life is their lack of desire to show the world that they're living their best life. It's like, I love that. All right. You do not become good by trying to be good, but by finding the goodness that is already within you and allowing that goodness to emerge. Circumstances do not make the person, they reveal the person. When you follow the crowd, you lose yourself. But when you follow your soul, you will lose the crowd. Eventually, your soul tribe will appear, but do not fear the process of solitude. I love that last line. Do not fear the process of solitude. Self-control is strength. Calmness is mastery. You have to get to the point where your mood doesn't shift based on the insignificant actions of someone else. Don't allow others to control the direction of your life. Don't allow your emotions to overpower your intelligence. Another person will hurt you without, another person will not hurt you without your cooperation. You are hurt the moment you believe yourself to be. You grow when you realize you don't have to suffer in order to learn your lessons. You don't have to accumulate mental and emotional scars to prove your strength. There's strength in letting go and keeping your soul intact. Last one. People will never rise above the opinion of themselves. So, first time in over 6 years that I took a 2-week break. And it wasn't to take a break. I just decided that, you know, instead of I have to put out a podcast every Thursday, I would skip a Thursday just to take that off, going, okay, now, there you go. And it was in the back of my mind, the thought of, you know, when I, you know, have enough to record a podcast, I'll record a podcast. So then last Thursday rolled around, and the first thought that popped in my head was, oh, I should put up a podcast, record a podcast. And immediately, I was like, did you hear that? I should. Everyone should stop shoulding. Everybody should. It's kind of redundant. But it was, who is that dude? Big motivational speaker. Anthony, what's his name? Tony Robbins. He said, stop shooting on yourselves. So I'm like, why should? It's like, should? What do you mean you should? Like, you should. Well, you missed last Thursday. It's like, so what if I missed last Thursday? So I was like, all right, I never skipped 2 Thursdays because I had that little should word in my head. Poof. And I emailed the Canadian assassin and I said, no PYP today. And I said, I began Pro U podcast phase one. And shortly after that, the dynamics changed. And pretty soon I was recording what was referred to as Tom Solo pods. And it became just a verbal journal of my journey, my experiences, and sharing that, having experiences and then sharing those experiences. And I could just tell that this last couple months was, okay, you know, I don't have to do it every Thursday, you know, what do I need to say, what, you know, what's, you know, like, it just became a little bit, and I was just, you know, aware, but I don't need to, you know, put up a podcast of just anything every Thursday. When I have something to say, something to share, when I've got, you know, enough notes accumulated, that's what I'm going to do. And again, it was just another shift of perspective, but it was a very peaceful one. And it was like that email, writing it. I was like, phase one, phase two, phase three, when I have something to say, I'll record a podcast. And it was just like another free, another level of freedom. You know, there was less weight on my shoulders. Like, yeah, now, you know, woke up and I'm like, yeah, I got a bunch of notes. I'll record a podcast. And I believe I will do this 426. I will do 427, which will be 2021 year in review. And then, boom, done for the year. So I loved how it worked out. You know, kind of a big reward was, you know, not, you know, kind of breaking the every Thursday. I'm writing that down right now. Breaking the every Thursday. That's a, you know, it's success, you know, because first, you know, you can want to do something, and you can do it, and then thrive on it and build on it, and yay. But if at one point going, well, why are you doing that? And you can't answer. It's like, all right, well, you got to ask yourself, you know, is it serving you? You know, the little pressure I was feeling, like, why am I feeling pressure? No one cares. And then I look at that now. I'm like, why am I doing these things? Like, and feeling this if, like, no one else cares. Like, I'm doing that? I'm choosing to feel that way by my actions? So it's, again, it's just, you know, that being aware, being aware, being aware. But again, the title, 426, observe, respond. The last podcast I did put up was over Thanksgiving, called Just Another Thursday. And I don't get a bunch of response or, you know, likes or anything, but I just think it came out on Thanksgiving. It said Just Another Thursday. And I'm like, I wonder if that turned people off. But it was actually my best Thursday / Thanksgiving, really, ever. You know, because I've been, you know, kind of doing the thing. Look, it's Thanksgiving. People are doing A. I'm doing B. It's fine. And, you know, I've been saying that for a few years now. And this year, it was really, really like a Thursday. You know, I trained a couple people and we didn't talk about it. And I just went on with my day. And it was like I wasn't trying, or I wasn't like, okay, you know what day it is, but you're doing. It was just, and I was like, God, just great. Like, I love that. Like, the days all blend. And the thing I'm coming up with, like, to me, it's empowering, is I don't need the vacation. I don't need to get away. I don't need a holiday. I don't need a bunch of presents on a day to feel good. You know what I mean? Those are things I remember, like, really looking forward to. Why? Because they were bliss. It was heaven. How was everything else? Oh, not real good. Well, now I'm like, dude, my every day is better than it's ever been. Hey, this weekend, it's like, I don't care. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I don't need to. And I'm so enjoying my day-to-day journey that I like I'm doing even less now. And to me, you know, I'm not like sacrificing and, you know, barely surviving and struggling, and not at all. Like, I'm going, cool, okay, wow, okay, I'm not doing that. Wow, okay, I'm not, all right. You know, listening to my higher self, letting go, being present, being thankful. And like every, I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm not striving, working hard to do a thing, get a thing done. I'm not headed towards a destination. I'm just trying to be the best me today. That's it, today. Tomorrow I'll say the same thing, but that's it. I'm not trying to increase, improve, get bigger, stronger, faster, make a bunch of money, get, no. It's like a tree, like nature. I'm just being. I got to, you know, a dog I got to take care of. I got to eat. You know, I want to stay mobile, flexible. But I'm not, you know, trying to create a huge to-do list. And I'm questioning everything. Are you going to do that? Well, why are you doing that? Why are you going to? Everything, and it's peaceful, and the quiet is my reward. So, these are my notes. The last day I went to the beach was about, I think, 3 weeks ago, and it was just like I had imagined it could be. it was still about a hour, I think, you know, 20, 30 there and an hour and a half back. But it wasn't bad because I haven't done it that much. You know, I haven't done that lately. So, there was no wind. And like before, like a couple times I had gone, and like there was actually no sand. It was all rocks where the beach I normally hang out was. So, you know, you're not really playing with a dog or doing much of anything with this, a lot of sand. And it was fine, but it was just like not super low tide, but like, you know, the topography changes so much. Like, the sand had risen above all the stones. And it was just nice, and there weren't any people. And it was just, I don't know. Again, I'm a better me, therefore my experiences are better, I'm assuming. But I just remember going, you know, this is the perfect day. And I did a little stone balancing, which was kind of cool, because I knew, I'm like, I'm not like really doing this for a reason. I wasn't even thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I have something. And it kind of turned out kind of cool. And I was like, all right, cool. But it was just so much different than, oh, I'm going out once or twice a week, every week. I got to do better. I got to gather more stones. I got to put more time into it. This is what, like, all of that is gone. And there's more peace, and there's more, you know, hanging with Zen. And it was just, like, I just remember going, like, that was the best day. Like, I was going to text Mosher and go, dude, I'm having, like, the best day. Because I'm always, you know, when I get close to him, I'm thinking, hey, I should just shout out. And I'm, like, there again going, I don't need to. No one needs to know. And it was just this quiet, perfect little day. And I'm like, okay, if everything I've done got me to that day, once again, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I just keep getting that confirmation, reiteration. Tom, keep doing what you're doing because you like what you're getting. So I had a great moment of working out where I did this kind of a longer run with Sen, and then I did this big hike up this mountain, and I jogged down the other side, and then I didn't do anything for like 3 weeks. And there's just something about, you know, running you know, it's not a huge, you know, drop downhill, but it's a decline. And I thought, okay, cool, walk up the hard part and just do this light little jog down the other side. And I'm like, okay, I got so frustrated. Well, I mean, I didn't get like crazy frustrated, but it was like I always have this saying now, it's like return to zero. I want to make sure every limb, every joint has mobility and is not achy or sore. And that rarely happens. And it gets thrown a lot. But this last little thing, I was like, I'm just not doing that anymore. Like, I'm going to run enough where it doesn't bother me. I'm going to do certain things that don't bother me. Like, that was like the whole new game plan. And I started really, I found that like pull-up rack bar thing that hangs above your doorway. And it's just so great for stretching. Like, I can just hang my arms and get that pop once in a while hanging, which I've never been able to do. But I just started kind of slowly, like, just doing these cheap push-up pull-ups where I just would kind of jump. And you use your arms a little bit, back a little bit, but I'm just kind of jumping. And it was like this slow, and I thought, this is life, you know. I mean, I've done pull-ups on and off in my life and were, you know, good at them at different times. But now here I am. You know, 56, almost 57, going, I'm going to try to get that pull-up thing going. And if my shoulder's a little, you know, off, I got to return to zero before I start doing it and modify it. And, you know, I got to the point where I was doing, like, negatives, where I jump up and then go down all the way real slow. And, you know, shoulders started getting tight because, you know, my body wasn't back to zero. Calves were still tight. So it was like, stop that, you know. And it was all about managing what I was or wasn't going to do. It wasn't just work out hard. I mean, that's what it was forever. Work out hard. And I loved it. And I could. And now it's like, you can't. It's like, well, how? So do I work out or not? Well, you kind of work out, but not like you didn't, but not as hard, but almost as long. It's not as much, you know, not as a bigger reward because you're, you know, foam rolling and stretching your, you know, you're doing a lot of this stuff just to make it possible. And it could be kind of a bummer. And I've been telling, like, this past week, I was telling clients, I go, you know, my joy right now is how well I'm responding. You know, I haven't really, like, for 2 years done, I'm going to work out hard and feel good. And for me not to have that and be fine, and not only fine, but be as good as I am, I mean, that is just huge. You know, that is the flame that's burning the brightest, going, dude, look how you're handling not doing this, not doing that, not, you know, all the things I'm not doing that I used to do, and I'm fine. Like, I'm on a ride going, oh, all right, I can't, like, I'm on a ride like a tram, and it's moving along, and something's in my vista, and all of a sudden I'm passing it, and I'm like, oh, there's that thing, and then I'm like, wow, it's almost in the distance. Hey, I can't see that thing anymore, and I'm like, okay, that's gone. Oh, but my eyes go forward. And I'm looking at, you know, all right, this is what I'm doing now. So I decided, you know, the mobility and the flexibility has just always been a key. And I said, you know, just a little bit more of the flexibility. And then about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was like, well, yeah, I didn't feel really good. But I'm like, what if I just did like some slow kicks? You know, there's just not a lot, you know, squats, lunges. You know, if you don't have any equipment, you know, that's kind of really it. And I just move my legs a little bit, you know, get some mobility, whatever. And I did it, and it was this weird thing where it obviously didn't feel like it used to, because I haven't kicked in like 10, 15 years. I would say for sure 10 years because I was teaching at Crunch, but I was barely doing anything. I would like teach and stand because I was achy and sore all the time. So, you know, once in a while, but, you know, I'm pretty sure for a solid like 8 to 10 years have not even thrown a kick. And I wasn't really even stretching because it was just all foam roller. So start stretching a little bit, kicked a little bit, just really kind of slow. And it was the weirdest thing. It was about the third time. And, you know, I understand what muscle memory is, the concept, but I've never felt it quite as apparent because all of a sudden I would just kind of like pick my leg up and follow this path, like a path I had paved a long time ago. And it didn't feel super like great, but it just followed this path. And I probably more than anything in my life I did was kick. So I was just at front kick, roundhouse, and side kick. And side kick to go from the back leg, you know, to kick. It's a little bit bigger of a motion, and it's a little funkier for me. So that's the one I'm struggling with. But I'm, again, not, you know, trying to accomplish anything. Not just like, that's just, you know, something to get my heart rate moving, something I can do. Maybe it'll be kind of fun. I won't be sore from it. And then there's a crescent kick or an axe kick where you kind of make a big circle. You kind of go way up high and then bring it down. Inside outside kick, and all of a sudden I threw one and it goes up over my head and down, and it was like, I don't think I'm that flexible to do it, and it just followed this groove, like, oh yeah, we've done this, and it was the weirdest thing. So now it's been twice, but after, I think it was one time I got like, again, and I'm not sure what the variables were, but I got really twisted the next day and took me, you know, 4 or 5 days to come back to zero. So it's nothing I can do consistently, but I did it about 2 days ago and it was cool. I'm throwing like, you know, 6, 10 kicks each kick, each leg real slow, not trying to do anything. But that whole thing, like, this came back easy. You know, I mean, I still, like, there's just not that, you know, I remember how it felt to kick. So it's just definitely not that, but it's definitely made me smile going, hey, that's kind of cool. Because I just, like I said, I really haven't focused on flexibility or that type of exercise, but it's definitely been a little bit rewarding. So again, that whole observe and respond. Hey, what can I do? What can't I do? And then and respond. And I'm like, well, try this. And it would have been like, oh, you know, that hurt. It's like, okay, you're not kicking. That's over. It's done with. Kind of a cool thing. This was a pretty this was a trippy moment that led right into a bunch of Mosier notes because I shared it with him. But I have a little portable safe and I have it on this steel kind of, it's like a Japanese weapon called a kubaton, and never for whatever reason thought about a second key. I just had this one key and open it up, and I don't use it a whole lot or anything. So I'm actually pulling out my podcast equipment, and I look, and the keys in the safe, and I go, oh, left it in there. And I go to grab it, and it falls off. Like it had been in there, and I, you know, moved some stuff around, whatever, and the key had bent. Hadn't broke off all the way, but it had bent. And as soon as I touched it, it broke off. So I pull out the safe, and I'm like, it's immediately like the heart starts going, doom, 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 doom. Because my mind started going, I just broke the key off in the lock. I only have one key. How am I going to open this up? Because the only, you know, thing, as I had some cash in there. But, you know, I don't have a ton of money right now. And it just went from like zero. I mean, it's so relative now because it's never, never as bad as it was. But for how I walk the earth now, it was this immediate gloom and doom. That key's not coming out. You can't get a second key. You're not going to open this. Like, you're going to call. Like, you know, I got the safe. I don't know how long ago. It's got to be 12 years, you know, and I'm like, there's just, wow, it was just, you're not, it's done, it's bad, it's over. And this is like 30 seconds. And then I reached and I lifted up the top. I had left the key in there turned open. So I grabbed my little envelope of cash and I fell back on the ground and I just heavy exhaled. And then I just thought, like, what was that last 60 seconds like? Like, I just went boom, 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 boom. And then I'm like holding the only thing that mattered. And then I looked through it and there was my baptism certificate, my marriage certificate, my divorce certificate. And that's all I had. And I'm like, it's like, I don't need anything. You know what I mean? So then I went through this whole thing of, well, all right, cool. I got the cash out. There's nothing else in there. I'm going to throw this out. My, you know, can't get the key out. I can't. Like, it was in my head going, okay, I can't get the key out. I'd only have one key. I don't need the safe. You know, done. Then I just pumped the brakes. And I'm, like, remembering now. Like, this has been, like, 10 years where someone goes, hey, what about YouTube? And I'm like, oh. Like, I don't know why that doesn't pop into my head. Check, there's a YouTube video, 50 of them for anything you could think of. So I'm like, all right, let me just look. Key, broken lock. Second video I look at. Guy's just like, you know, take a little screwdriver and just see if you can just pick it out. And I'm like, well, how easy? So I just tried it and poof, it popped out like it was the easiest thing in the world. And I'm like, well, okay, now, but what are you going to do? You only have one key, it's broke. It's like you got this safe and it's like, well, I'll just use it to hold things. You know, I won't get. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let me just go online. So I look at the safe. I get the name. Google it. Comes up. I go, replacement key. Comes up, $7. I was like, and so I told that wonderful, beautiful story to Mosier. And where's the quote here? All right. Going from being controlled. Here it is, my bad. How your brain creates a false reality. And when he said that, I was like, God, that's what happened. My brain was like, you just lost the envelope of cash because there's no way to get that broken key out and the safe's too old and you don't have a second key and it's bad. Like, that just jumped in my head as quickly as it could. And then it was, oh, look, open up the top. There was, I mean, if it was the worst case scenario, all I did was open up the top and take the envelope out. I couldn't care less. And that's what I was like, I'm just going to throw this thing out because it's dumb. It's broke. I can't find a replacement. Like the junk that was in my head. And he said, you spent 10 minutes in a reality that I created. And I'm like, that's exactly how it, well, probably not 10 minutes, but that's exactly it. You actually spend that time mentally, emotionally, completely vested into that reality that you just created or that was created for you, you know, involuntarily in my head. Because there were these level of total doom and then elation at the top was open to throw it out to, oh, wait, I can get. And then the whole thing was like, maybe, let's say the whole entire thing was 20 minutes long. And I was like, what a ride. Like, I was so aware of the entire ride. And I was like, that just happened. Like, that's just crazy. And that's when, you know, Mosier, we were talking, he's saying, you know, go from being controlled by your habits to being aware of your habits. So again, to be aware. This is now kind of transcending into other Mosier notes, but one thing that kind of pushes him is the question, how good can I get? And he said, you know, that's an open-ended idea. Don't have a narrow view of what a good life is, because that actually dictates having a narrow chance of it happening. And the last one was, actions create emotional state. And that is something that's just really, really resonates, and especially like with new people when they start out. You know, you don't want to eat a certain way. You don't want to drink X amount of water. You don't want to stretch. You don't want to go for a walk or run. You don't really feel like going to the gym. You don't really want to work out. But your action is going to create an emotional state, whether it's inaction creating an unfavorable mental state, or action, which will provide and hopefully sustain a positive mental state. And those type of things are really wonderful to understand. Like, you're laying there on the couch and you got the weight of the world on you, and you're sitting there going, why can't I move? And it's because you can't stop the thoughts, and it's one after another. So the weight's building up and you're like, stop. Just sit up, stand up, walk into another room, walk downstairs, walk outside. Just change your environment, which will change the stimuli. And you can go, look, I'm going to just walk and breathe for a second. And just again, just that little bit of action will create or change the emotional state. And that's a positive thing to remember. So, oh, here's another one. I wrote this down. Solitude is where growth happens and answers appear. I had a crazy day, and it hit hard, and I'm trying to understand, grasp. It hit hard because it was that bad, or it hit hard because I'm just so not that. You know, my life is so quiet and peaceful that when there's that anything other than that, it's like, wow, that was really, and I'm like, well, is it standing out so much because 99% of the time it's not? Versus, oh, that's still bad. I can get, it's like a button, and a person will push one, and then two, and then three, and then all of a sudden I'm just done. And I don't like my time being messed with. And there's not, I mean, he hadn't really bothered me, but I just started kind of getting this weird energy from this guy that lives across the street. And he's got a dog, and he's always kind of letting it sit outside, and it barks at every dog. And it's not a bad, bad thing, but I'm like, you know, why do you just do that? So it's just this kind of growing, I don't really like you. And then I was just sitting there one day, and he comes walking across, and I'm up top with Zen chilling outside. And I'm like, I don't sit out here because I'm looking to chat with people. And he's like, can I talk to you? Can you come down? And he starts giving me his, like, business resume. Well, I'm this, and I'm a contractor. And I was just like, whoa. I was just like, immediately, like, he bothered me. He was, you know, he said, come down. Like, why can't, like, just, you can ask me, right? And I'm like, what? Like, I need this attention. You need to come down because I need to talk to you, and I need to tell you this story, and I need it. So, and then he goes, did you call and complain about me? And I just turned around and I started walking away. I was like, oh my God. Like, I, and this is where it's not good. But I was like done. And there was part of me is like, I didn't even think about it, but I didn't like open the gate. I didn't walk towards him. I just immediately turned around and started walking up. But every step I got more and more angry. And by the time I got to the top, I was like, go away. I go, you just like, what the, I was just mad. Like, and he just, and he kept talking, and I'm like, stop. And I would say something, and he just kept telling me that. And I go, I told you I didn't. If I had a problem with you, I would come over and knock on your door. Now shut up. Just like, and he just, and when it was done, I immediately was like, don't like how I feel. Don't like what I said. Don't like how I reacted. Don't like how it was just in my head. And it was like, you know, 6:30 in the morning. Like the sun was barely up. I mean, I had been up with Zen and did the walk run already. And, you know, after that, we come back and we'll chill outside. And I was like, I didn't know, like, this was wrong. This is what I should have done. It would not. It was just like, I need a calm mind. Like, that's all that hit me. I need a calmer mind. You need to be able to calm your mind. It just stayed there. And then it was a little different because it kind of faded, because it really bothered me, because it just kind of stood out. It kind of just, it just stuck with me. Like, I just, like, I typically just ignore people. You know what I mean? Or it's like, all these, I should have done that. I could have done that. What if I would have done that? And I'm like, what, you know, and then when it doesn't feel like it's done, because I was just like angry, but didn't say anything I really wanted to, or like, and so I had all these other, and it was like hypothetical and, but then it kind of just stopped. And I wasn't really aware of it. But I was walking around. And I was walking Zen. And I ran into another test. And I wasn't really aware of it. It was just someone I, you know, I've kind of avoided when I'm out walking Zen. And I didn't respond and I didn't react and didn't do anything. And as I walked away, there's this little thing going, that's the best you've ever done. And it was just this no response, because I didn't change. I didn't alter. My heart rate didn't go up. There was not a shift in my pulse or my breathing. My mind didn't race. It was like this whole thing happened and it was slow motion. And I didn't care. Because I was, you know, maybe a little bit in my head about the other thing or just off about it. So I was just like, just not ready to like pick which way I was going to feel when I had this, you know, encounter. And just someone's, not even worth mentioning, but just someone's vibe, I just ignore. It's nothing like bad, bad, bad. But the moment I got home, I wrote down, wow, one day I went from one of like, yuck, as far as how I felt about everything in that moment, to, wow, did you feel that? And I was like, well, wait a minute, how can I do so good in the same? So that's when I thought, okay, I didn't do that bad in the morning. It was just, I don't feel that way. And I just should have been, no, I'm not coming down. No, I'm not talking to you. I mean, I just should have not given that dude any energy at all, because look what happened later on that afternoon. And to me, it was like in one day, it was completely like, there it is. There's your world. Here are the pieces. Play with what you want. Focus on what you want. Do what you want. And that was it, man. I mean, it was just, and again, observing and responding. I didn't like beat myself up, but I didn't like that morning. But I was like, wow, in that same exact day, I, by default, just kind of was like, yeah, I'm just not going to react, respond. And I was like, well, that was totally cool. And I think that whole, like when I read that quote, solitude is where growth happens and answers appear. You know, I was by myself after both moments. I've been, you know, by myself alone for a long time. And it's in that time where you're aware and you're looking at yourself and you're asking yourself why. And if you're vested, you want to have answers. And so you search for those answers. And that's the personal growth, and it's not always fun. So ending with some pretty cool stuff. I had two conversations. Well, one was at night, and then the next morning, I talked to a person I hadn't talked to in a while. and they weren't in a good place. And it was just this little thing where I was like, okay, it's about time to chat. And if I would have, someone would have said, quick, write down what's going to happen. I would have wrote, I'm going to change the way they feel. Like, I just like knew it deep down, but wasn't thinking about it consciously. I wasn't worried. I wasn't getting nervous. I wasn't anxious. And we got done. I was like, yep, changed how they felt. Next morning, I get up. I'm talking to a client. I mentioned a couple things I had talked to the person about before and sharing some of the stories. And he was nodding and he was smiling and he was agreeing. And then I kind of smiled and I said, I'm getting pretty good at this. And I said this and then I wrote it down because it's always been kind of a question for me of what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I wrote down, I said, you know, I'm getting pretty good at this. And then I wrote down, I think I know what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I just smiled because there was this like joyful kind of thing and going, this is what I do. I just, you know, again, I got history with these people. But I just know before we even talk, I'm going to make them feel better. I have that ability, which leads me right next into the next story that I wrote down. The success of my clients. I don't have a bunch of clients, but my clients, their success is so rewarding. I mean, talking to people at the level where they're getting it now, like that 7 to 8, like really going, okay, it is up to me each day. And I got on line with a client and he just starts out telling me how good he's doing. Then he shares his past week. And I'm like, that's a great sign. People are always, oh, I'm going to bitch and complain. It's what they're focused on. Talked to this dude for 3 or 4 minutes and he was just glowing. And then he said, I had the craziest, toughest challenge, most challenging week. And I love that. Because it didn't define him. It wasn't who he was. It was how he ended the week, how he started the session, what he was focused on. And I was talking to a client about, you know, what they were doing, this and that, and it was over Thanksgiving. And I love this story. And this client answers, had the best Thanksgiving with family, wrapped around a table, eating. The next day I went hiking with my father. And the day after that, took the family out and cut down a Christmas tree. And I was like immediately going, things Tom won't ever say. And I was like, what a, and what I mean, I don't pat myself on the back, but I've always been that cheerleader where people tell me good news or things that are happening for them. And I'm happy for people naturally. I don't have to try to do that, but I don't naturally go, oh, what about me or why them? I'm like, was so, but in that moment, I love and respect this person so much and they get it. But I was like, what a fairy tale life. You know, the quote unquote gathering with family with, you know, that food around that table and then hiking with your father who was like, well, how awesome is that? That you're buddies and you're both still fit and, you know, he still can. And what a, and then you fairy tale Hallmark. Let's go out and cut a Christmas tree. Let's go cut down our own Christmas tree. And it was just, and I loved that. It's not, I don't have that, holidays are bad, boo-hoo, bah humbug. If you have that, that's fantastic. And it filled my heart. But the person I'm talking about gets it. And they're so thankful. And if I think of like the 2 or 3 people that have touched me, it's because of how thankful they are. And I've always said, look, I'm one of the most appreciative people that I know, and I'm not bragging, but, you know, I have to remember that people just aren't that way naturally, and it's not a bad thing, but I'm just, you know, crazy appreciative because, you know, I got bit by the bug. I, you know, completely embraced how empowering it is to live with that, you know, attitude of gratitude. But when you see it kind of coming to life in others and they're really doing it and they're thanking, you know, they're just being thankful and they radiate from their gratitude, and then they kind of go out of their way to thank me. And, you know, it's still uncomfortable when someone says, you know, I'm this way because of you. I'm like, no, like I just start backpedaling because I know it's not true. I mean, if they don't do the work, there could be 10 of me and it wouldn't happen. It's all on the person. But it's just an endearing, deep feeling thing when someone openly admits that their life is different because of you being in it. You know, that's a powerful, powerful thing that I don't take lightly. You know, and even the clients that, you know, have been doing well that don't say that, I can just see how well they're doing. And it's so rewarding because now, you know, I've been in their lives for a long time, you know, anywhere from, well, I think the newest is a year and a half, and then all the way up to 16 years. And all the best that they've ever been, and that fills my cup. And talking to them, like each session, whether it's a workout or, you know, some clients I just chat with online, and it's like I said, that was the note I wrote, is just the success of my clients is so rewarding. And I'm gonna end with a story that involves Mosier. I was having a chat with him, and it just, for whatever reason, just became like the best ever. Like, it was just such a deep, moving, like, so many things are, like, resonating between him and I. Like, different times, different colors, different shapes, but a lot of the same stuff. And I felt so good during it. And it was probably about an hour later, and I was at the puppy park. And I always kind of have this, you know, I'll just reflect on a session. And I've often stated that there'll be a little part of me that just kind of rises above and looks down on me when I'm talking to a client going, that's you, look at you helping that person. And that's what fills my mind and takes the place of the bad that used to consume the space between my ears. So I'm sitting there in the puppy park and I start tearing up and I started crying. And that's when I decided to text Scott. And I said, I'm at the puppy park. And I said, reflecting on our chat. And I said, there's always a little part of me that observes myself live. And I said, that small part of me was the 8-year-old me. And I said to the 8-year-old me, don't worry. It's all going to be okay. That's you at 56. Talking to that guy. Hanging verbally. Hanging mentally. And that guy likes you. And listens to you. And pays you to train him. And I wrote, tears in my eyes, because I just cried. Thank you, Scotty. And he gave me the best compliment I've ever gotten in my life. He touched me so deeply. And I would, you know, wasn't just sharing, just, hey, thanks for the conversation, and this is where I went, and, you know, just sharing, just not looking for anything at all. And he texts back, Tom, you are a beautiful soul. it. It just like filled me up. Like I felt great. I wasn't, you know, the tears were tears of gratitude. Then he texts me and he goes, my new image of you will be you crying at the puppy park. And I'm like, you know, I love this dude. You know, I admire and respect him. And we've been in each other's lives, you know, a long time now. But it just meant so much to me. Because in that moment, it was like, you know, that 8-year-old that, you know, was never doing anything right, was walking around in fear, and would continue to walk around in fear for another decade. Wondering, what's he doing wrong? Why does this guy not like me? You know, what, you know, completely lost. And ending up at peace with skills, you know, with character and with the ability to, you know, chat and hang and, you know, just be a friend to someone like Scott is, you know, that's the reward. So no matter what you go through, you know, in life, it's really going to come down to you being able to, having the ability to observe and respond. What are you going through? How is it feeling? Why are you doing what you're doing? Do you want different? And again, with that, you know, go from being controlled by your habits to being aware of your habits. That's going to take you a long time. Undoing the old, starting to do the new, planting those seeds, you know, trying to water and nourish those seeds and let them grow, focus on you, and then everything else you have to do in the world. So that's what I mean. Right now, like, I got this huge open schedule. So a lot of that time can go to me, but it's nothing that I would, you know, hey, you know, work, you know, a lot less and have a bunch of free time so you can think about you and, you know, focus on your personal growth. I don't think anybody would just voluntarily choose to do that, and nor would I tell anybody. But if your life, you know, you get divorced and you get unemployed, you get hurt. I mean, if life forces you to slow down, it's immediately uncomfortable, unfamiliar, and scary. And I look back going, well, now I'm like, those are all the moments that I've learned from and grew the most. And when I look at, you know, 48 to 56, fun? No. Familiar? Nope. Comfortable? No. But did I do it? Yep. Did I show up? Yep. Did I make it? Yep. How? Being thankful. And once you get that, then you just observe and respond. So there it is. One more. I'll release one more this year. Year in review. So again, I'm in a great spot. If you're looking for a trainer, a coach, cheerleader, online, FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, there's a million ways to connect. And that's what I think is just a great thing to kind of have got to the place where, yeah, I do online training. I can train anyone in the world. So the opportunity's there. I am here. And just remember, as always, you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You moment. Stoked you're here. Let us begin to control that which we can. And seated on the floor, legs crossed if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine, and draw the inhale through the nose, allow the exhale out the mouth. Slow the breath down, elongate the breath, stay connected to the breath, focused on the breath. That will keep us connected and present in this moment. Anything else enters the space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is done. You may begin now. Congratulations, well done. Way to be pro you. It's always a reflective moment when I get to this time and I keep thinking about how many times I've said little things done consistently, and here we are coming to end of another year, but I'm feeling the best I've ever been. And I remember how I felt, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, and now it just gets better each year. And I know how I did that. Deeming myself worthy of feeling better by observing and responding. You can control that which you can control. You can stay present in this moment, all by being thankful. It is a true superpower. And if I was to ever have one last message, that's what it would be. The power of gratitude and how much you can change your life, your walk, your path by just deeming yourself worthy of making some choices. Peace and God bless.